Today's show is brought to you by Vinyl Me Please. Join the Record of the Month Club at joinvmp.com/songspodcast. Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, I do want to give you a friendly reminder that each and every episode comes with a unique playlist via Spotify or Apple Music. You can go to songspodcast.com or scroll down to the description of this episode and click on a link to the playlist, Apple Music, Spotify. They are there for you to experience the songs that we talk about on each and every episode. Thank you so much, and let's get right to it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Songs for the Moment, where every moment has a soundtrack. Today is March 11, 2019, and I am here with Sean Hebert. You know who I am. I'm Glenn, but Sean's the man of the hour today.
I am. Wow. On, okay. I'm doing good.
You rolled the episode today.
yeah. Had a busy little morning. Had to do some things, take care of some life shit, but I'm here. I'm ready to do this episode. And in pre-production for this episode, I had the weird pleasure of watching that Michael Jackson documentary Leaving Neverland, and that was a crazy way to start my day, watching the first 2 hours of that.
Yeah, it's very intense, and we're going to talk about that here in the first half of this show, because I feel like it's an important topic to talk about, and it's relevant, obviously, because it's new and it just came out, but like that kind of discussion and topics has been big in music lately, with a lot of sexual abuse claims and things like that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We have our list this week. It's what we've been listening to lately. We're going to do another Now Playing episode. And we're going to talk about a little bit about the Prodigy, the passing away of one of the members. And obviously, I think I hinted at it last week, and if I didn't, I'm going to be talking about the Lords of Chaos film that came out. I have a song from them. From the band that that movie is about, Mayhem, and it's going to be a good list. Also, we officially applied to be part of the Philadelphia Podcast Festival 2019. Hopefully, we get in.
Yes,
we'll know in May, and we have something really special up our sleeves for that if we get picked. So, like, we already know what we want to do with it and everything. So it should be fun. It'll be our first live show.
Yeah, which is nerve wracking, but also exciting.
Yes. So I'm really hoping we get in. I think we will. I think we'll be all right. And also next Monday will be the first round of the March Madness Championship Tournament, the 80s, which is gonna be really tough, because I know in the list of songs in the bracket we're gonna have to substitute some songs, maybe. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Depending on how this conversation.
Oh God!
We're about
yeah,
to have
yeah, yeah. Oh man, I didn't even think about the impact of what I just saw today. Oh no.
Yeah, man. Like, I was after checking it out too. I'm just like,
and what do I do with the vinyl?
Freak. We'll talk about that.
Yeah,
because
we're gonna get into this.
So.
Strap the fuck in,
everyone.
It's gonna be a bumpy ride.
Finding Neverland, or Leaving Neverland, Finding Neverland, Leaving Neverland came out this past weekend, and obviously it's about the sexual abuse claims of Michael Jackson.
Yes.
And the two men in question is Wade Robson and James Safechuck. And talks about how they met Michael and everything that happened with them. It's a two-part documentary. And there's an interview with Oprah after the two-part documentary. It's an hour long. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a must-watch if you watch these two parts. Now, off the bat, no matter how you feel about this situation, we're going to be honest. We're going to be... giving you our opinions on the situation and what we think, and if you happen to listen to this and you have an opinion, let's keep it civil. There's a lot of negative Nancys out there, a lot of assholes, a lot of blind fandom out there, that are just ruthless and it's disgusting to be that hardcore against other people's opinions. I get it. That's the age that we live in these days, but like, let's keep it civil. We're going to keep it civil on this show.
Yeah, we're going to keep it civil, and I just want to preface all this with we are coming at this from the... You got to remember, we are 31-year-old, 32-year-old dudes. So when all that stuff happened in the 90s, we were too young to comprehend what was going on. When Michael Jackson was famous, we didn't understand what famous was. Like, we were both born in 1987. So,
yeah. Like, right at his height.
Yeah, we were born at the height of his thing, so we didn't know what the hell was going on. And all, but we're coming out at this from the angle of, like, we saw the documentary. We knew that people, he was accused of stuff when he was alive, but nothing ever really came of it. And we're going off of the facts that I'm going to have to quote, like, put air quote over facts, you know?
Yeah.
But I will say this documentary is done very well. I mean, it's HBO, so they always crush it. They don't pick bullshit, you know? Yeah.
They told a very linear story. There wasn't any, like, distractions. It didn't feel like I was watching a hit piece, you know what I mean?
No.
I didn't feel like I was watching a sensationalist, like, just come up with, like, a story, you know?
Right. I'll admit that I only saw the first episode. I don't know how many episodes there are, but the first episode was 2 hours, so I imagine there can't be a ton of them.
No, it's a two-parter, so you watched the first
half.
Part of the documentary.
Okay, so
the
first I watched half of it. Okay.
So there's another hour and 30, I think, left, and then plus you have another hour on top of that with the interview. I watched both. I had to take a break after the first one
Wait, what do you mean the interview? I'm sorry.
So there's an interview with Oprah. Like, Oprah does host, like, this after, it's called After Neverland or something like that. And it's with the director, and the two men, the accusers, and then the crowd is full of, sexual abuse survivors. So it's definitely, like, you know, a safe space for those guys. And, I can tell you that I had to take a break from the first part because it ruined my day.
Yeah.
It ruined my day because I didn't expect them to get that explicit. And I'm glad they did, because I feel like you have to tell what happened. You shouldn't
Absolutely.
Sugarcoat those things.
No.
Being a fan of Michael's work for the longest time, I mean, I can tell you, I was a tap dancer when I was young. I did tap dancing and karate at the same time, basically. Like, you know, I would go to one and go to the other right after, or like the day after. And one of our major sequences that we did for a recital or whatever was Heal the World, which was a Michael Jackson song. So I, like, it was a big part of my life.
And, I've known you for 17 years and I had no idea you did tap dancing.
Yep. I thought it was relevant for the show. So I had to.
It is. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's just me and Zach Smith were, like, the only dudes in the class. So shout out to Zach Smith. It just ruined my day. I felt sick. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, because, like, I know this stuff goes on in the show business, in Hollywood, and in the music industry, all the industries in entertainment. And an outside, obviously.
Like I said, monsters are everywhere in the entertainment industry. But this,
yeah,
samesies, dude. Like, I watched it this morning, and me and my wife, I had to take her up the road to go to work, and the whole ride we were just talking about it, like how it just changed our mood. Like, it's pretty graphic, like what they talk about in the documentary. And, you know, I talked to somebody today, you know, they called me while I was watching it and they were like, oh, I'm not going to watch it. People are trying to just, you know, extort, you know, his fame for money and stuff like that. And I was like, I used to think that too. And then I watched it and I don't think that anymore.
I mean, it's funny too, because it's like, the two guys, they went to court with Michael when Michael was like later, and like more, I know Wade Robson did both. The first time he was accused, and the second time he was accused, and testified for Michael, said he didn't do anything wrong. And I could tell you from just other like true crime things that I've listened to that had something to do with child molestation and things like that. Like people are afraid to come, and especially with rape and just general, like anything like that, sexual abuse, sexual assault, people are afraid to come forward and tell their stories because they don't know what's going to happen to them if they say something, you know?
Right.
It puts this paranoia in you and it keeps you quiet. Like,
and I can't even say that I understand because I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I know people, I've never been through that. So I can't say how it feels like you just said, but I can imagine how it could be. And it's just insane, like what these people probably had to go through.
Right. And that's what I meant by what I just said of, I can't understand because I don't, like, I'm saying like, I can't understand because I don't, cause I'm not in that situation, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know that they didn't get a cut of the film. They didn't take profits from this. They didn't get paid to be interviewed. I understand why people might say that, you know, they're just looking for money. But watch the documentary and come back and ask me if you still believe the same, because it was genuinely, I can tell after the first part, because I was telling Sean off air that to me, James Safechuck feels a little bit more damaged than, and I'm not trying to compare who's damaged or what, I'm just telling you how I felt about the situation, because I could tell people who watch it are like, oh, these guys are just liars. You could tell right through them. Wade Robson seemed a little, he's got a lot of like clout around him because he's a choreographer. He's worked with, you know, some of the biggest names in pop music and things like that. And he just came off a little Hollywood in the beginning. But like, as it went on, you could tell that he's like, it's hurting him to talk. Like, and it was especially with James Savchak, he just looked damaged through the whole thing. I just wanted to hug the guy. Like,
yeah, his,
he just looked like,
I'm not saying hopeless. The other guy's testimony or anything that he said in the film wasn't genuine, but I felt James's story more than I felt Wade's.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for Wade. I feel equally as bad for both of those people.
Mm-hmm. Especially now that they have kids and
I didn't know that. Okay, so I haven't seen the second part. I don't care that you're spoiling some things for me, because I'm, you know, I can guarantee you when my wife gets home tonight, we're gonna have to make the choice of, are we gonna play video games or are we gonna finish that documentary, and I guarantee you what's gonna win.
And yeah, they both have kids, and I feel like man, it's getting really hard to talk about this. It's just depressing to watch this whole go down, because it's typical predator behavior.
Yes.
Grooming the family, getting the family to let their kids stay with him
and
by themselves.
One of the big points that people are making is, you know, how on earth as a parent could you let your child stay with a man that you don't know, you know? And
yeah,
at first for like a minute I was like, oh yeah, I agree with that. But then I thought about it. He definitely manipulated the entire family.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He gave him money, gave him gifts, bought him houses, and he split those families up, man. Like the Wade's parents, they split. And I felt so bad for the dad.
That was one of the last
like,
things I watched.
And the dad committed suicide. Now, I was brought to attention before watching this that the both dads apparently killed themselves or something, but I just know it's the one, the first accuser from like the 90s, his dad killed himself, and then that's what I heard. But then I know Wade's dad kills himself because they talk about it in the documentary. And someone was talking about how, you know, maybe it's a mistaken identity and like the dads actually did it. I'm like you're really gonna just take up for everyone but Mike. You're gonna take up for Michael no matter what evidence is put there in front of your face. And it just leads to like the whole, like, there's people out there that just don't want to open their eyes and listen, just to listen, like,
just listen to it. It's not going to physically hurt you.
Yeah. It might mentally fuck you up a little bit, but, it's something I feel like is important because it also brings up the subject of just this happening in the entertainment business. And like, we've talked about it on the show a few times, you know, like, the guy from Brand New, the guy from, Sorority Noise, and like a whole bunch of other people, the guy from Aiden, like I could tell you, like that scene, that emo scene was like full of this stuff. And it's scary because those are the kind of people, like the bands I looked up to. I looked up to Michael Jackson. I loved his music. You know, I grew up with his music.
Dude, I have Thriller over in my vinyl collection.
Yeah, it's the question of, like, I always say that celebrities get away with a lot of shit. I feel like we all can agree to that. Like, you have the money to make things quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, like, if someone, you know, settles out of court, they're probably guilty and they're probably just covering it up because they have the money to do so, to keep someone quiet. And most people are not going to say no to a couple mil, you know, especially if you're a struggling family, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, we're in the age of where people's stories are being heard finally, about damn time.
Because it's easy for their story to be heard.
Because the trailblazers that were brave enough to come out and talk, and like you said, it's easier. There's so many different forms of...
I mean, this was on HBO, so it's kind of behind a paywall.
Yeah.
But it's also really easy to get somebody's login these days.
Yeah, yeah. And the one thing that really, like, that really hit me, they talk about it at the end of the documentary into the interview, where Wade sued Michael after he died, obviously, because, you know, he didn't come out with a story until years, you know, a couple years after he passed away, I believe.
Right.
And he told his story, and he's like, he sued, and the people are like, why did you sue? You're just trying to restore money. He's like, I needed to do this in a way where I could be face to face with the family of Michael, the estate, and let them hear my story. And this is the best possible way to do that. Cause I could have made a YouTube video. I could have gone on a website. You know, I was on the Today Show, but like, I wanted to see them. I wanted them to hear it from my own words and see me, you know, like it's basically free publicity. And I thought that was smart. He wasn't looking for the money. He was looking to be able to tell his story in the most important way.
Right.
And that hit me really hard because that I could like that.
Because it's more genuine that way.
Mm-hmm. And that helps prove to me a little bit more, like, you know, because at first I came out of it and I wasn't going to believe anyone. I was just going to just be grateful that stories like this are being heard now. Because we truly, truly do not know, and we'll never know what happened. Because Michael's dead. He's not going to be like, oh yeah, I did this, you know?
But also at the same time, you have people like us obviously saying that we'll never know what happened. And you have, you know, Wade and James who are like, no, we're telling you what happened.
Exactly.
And that is the shame of it.
Yeah. And it's like, you keep thinking about it and you keep thinking and you start reading more about it, and it's just in your head, you're like,
it sounds too fantastical to believe for mm-hmm. the average person or anybody that didn't go through it, that, you know, oh, that all this would happen. But at the same time, back then, you know, didn't anybody think it was weird that he was always tour with like a single 9 or so year old boy? Like every tour, there would be like a different boy with him everywhere.
Yeah. And the whole sleeping in the same bed like thing, like,
well, I could understand if that didn't make it publicly, but he was seen multiple times with the same kid. Like, I understand the kid was like ultimately in his act or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
like, come on, man.
There's so many things that you can't ignore.
And that's what I was talking about in the beginning, where, you know, that me saying that could just be ignorance of I was too young at the time to know what was going on. And that's what people were complaining about back then.
Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing that also hit me the most is the whole promise wedding ring types thing that happened. The James, like, basically Michael gave him a ring, and that creeped me out. That made me uncomfortable.
You see how his hand was shaking when he was holding it?
Mm-hmm. So it was just...
His hand was shaking, like he didn't want to let go of it, but he also didn't even want to have it in his hand.
Yeah. It was... And the fact that he had it still.
Yep.
And all that
stuff. I said that. I was like, he went after he closed the box and locked it. I was like, why do you even still have it?
Yeah, it's just... These guys are damaged forever, no matter how much they feel like they've, you know, and like at in the interview he was talking about how, like, you know, the Oprah asked him, like, you know, so do you think you can, you know, start the moving on process, like, you feel like you can, you know, feel a little bit better about this, and Wade's like, it's gonna happen, and James's like, I'm still working on that, and like, you just, it's just, it hurts my heart every time I think about those guys, man, and it's just, it's so hard. So like, after thinking about it for a while, I was just like, I tend to believe this, you know, the survivors, you know, but I always do. And like, and another thing, and this is what I wanted to bring up the most, because I see a lot of people talking about this and it makes me angry. Just because they were guys, you know, a lot of people don't believe it because they're guys. Yeah. And that drives me nuts.
Here's the, what would they gain from telling everybody that this happened to them? That would outweigh the shame of telling people that this happened to them.
That they just want attention, that they're going to get book deals.
The shame of telling people that this happened to them. Really, if you put yourself in somebody's shoes who that really happened to or didn't happen to, okay, let's say you're them and it didn't happen to you. You would literally have to go around telling people that it did your entire fucking life.
Yeah.
Would you mentally be able to deal with that for some money or 15 minutes of fame? Because that's really all this is. That's all anybody ever gets these days, because everybody's attention span on things like this is so short. I can guarantee you in a month, no one's going to be talking about this.
Yep.
People are going to stop playing Michael Jackson's music like they have already on the radio. And like they've pulled his music down from countless places. And then nobody's going to listen to it for a month or so. And everybody's going to stop talking about it. And the story's going to fade away to the general public.
But those guys have to live with that every day of their lives for the rest of their lives.
Exactly. So there is nothing for them to actually gain other than trying to move on and have the truth come out.
And the kind of, you know, wave the flag of like, hey, this happens. Like, this is happening. I saw this documentary in LA. It was a rough cut of it. We went to a screening. We didn't know what it was. It was one of those, come to the screening, you'll get paid $25, to give your opinion on the movie. You know, what can they do better? And it was a movie called An Open Secret. It was by Amy Berg, really, really big, documentarian. And, it was about child abuse in Hollywood. And Bryan Singer is one of the main people that they talk about in that. He's a, you know, big time director. He was the original director of Bohemian Rhapsody. He did the X-Men movies. He's a name, but he's been accused by a lot of people that, you know, he molested them, raped them, and all those things, all these boys. And, you know, Corey Feldman's in the movie talking about his story. Not Jeff Bridges. The guy from, what's the show that Gary, he was the little person. Different Strokes.
I've never seen it.
It's a show back in the 80s.
I know what it is. I've just never seen it. I'm an ignorant person like that.
So whatever, I forget his name, it's something Bridges. He was telling his story. And it was just really, really, really uncomfortable watching that in a group of people because we didn't know that was the movie we were watching.
Like, it was like a surprise. That's a terrible surprise.
It was, but it was a good movie, and I'm glad that that, like, you know, was waving the flag. But that movie never got a wide release because a lot of people tried to shut it down.
Okay.
And I'm glad that this didn't get shut down because the Jacksons tried to shut this movie down.
I could imagine that they did.
They sued and everything, but I'm glad HBO did that because people need to understand that this shit happens in Hollywood and the entertainment business. Like you said, there's so many undiscovered monsters in this industry, you know, and in the world. I mean, we know this happens all the time. This is a thing, but no one understands that this happens to a lot of people in the entertainment industry. Like Terry Crews, as a grown man, was molested.
I don't even understand why you would try. That dude is huge as shit.
Guy had major balls on him, and like it's crazy like that, like, and especially like with the whole the guy thing, like a lot of people just dismiss like those things because they're dudes, so they should be able to fight back, blah, blah, blah. Like that's bullshit. Like that drives me nuts more.
Well, I mean, first
of
all, when this happened, they were little kids, but like I could see Terry Crews, you know, people saying he should have fought back and shit, but you know, if that's never happened to you before, you're probably taken back when that shit happens. Like, you don't know what the fuck to do in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So,
sorry, this is an NSFW podcast.
Yeah. Well, we already mark it explicit anyway. But in general, the two parts were very, like, a lot of insight, a lot of things. They talk about the grooming. They don't just interview the boys. They interview the moms, the sister, the brother of Wade Robson, the grandmother of Wade Robson.
Yeah.
And they talk to the wives of the boys, and James Savchuk's mom. So like they were groomed, they were targeted, and
it's crazy. I can't wait to see the second part, man. But at the same time, I feel like I do need to not watch it tonight just so to have a little joy in my day.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, man, it takes a lot out of you.
If you haven't seen this yet, just don't watch all 4 hours of it in a row because it's not healthy.
Yeah, don't binge it. Yeah, watch the first part. And like I told you, I had to stop in the mid of this first part because it got to me. And that stuff never really gets to me, man. Like, I understand it happens. It shocks me. It makes me sad. But I was physically sick, dude. I felt sick. Like, I felt like I wanted to throw up. I'm not over exaggerating when I say that either, because like,
no, yeah, it, it's pretty understand. Gross.
Yeah, you'll understand. You know, and it's
not gross in a sense. I mean, it's gross, but it's just, it's heinous. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like it's just it is what it is. It's black and white. No pun intended. Like it's there.
Yeah,
and
But yeah, anyway, to move on, I think we should close the book on that discussion.
Do we want to talk about anything else before we get into the music side of things, the playlist side of things, I should say?
We could take care of some paperwork before we get into the advertisements.
Sure, we definitely can. So first off, next week, starting on the 18th, we will be doing the first round of the March Madness Championship, the 80s. Yep. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a little tough just because of what we just talked about. We don't know if we can include those things in there or not, but we're going to talk about that. And
we're going to have to make a few substitutions now in the bracket.
Yeah. But it's going to be a great bracket, 32 songs. We're going to crown who we think the best 80s song of all time is in our mind.
And that's 80s song spanning all genres.
Yeah.
There can only be one, Highlander.
I love it.
But yeah, anyway, to take care of a little bit more paperwork, what were you going to say, Glenn?
No, I was just saying I'm excited about that. I'm ready.
Oh yeah, I'm super stoked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to take care of a little bit more paperwork, you can follow us on Instagram at Songs Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean Songscast and on Instagram at Sean Songs Podcast. Yeah, find us on Patreon. Links in the show notes, and definitely check out the show notes for the link to the playlist, Apple Music or Spotify, whichever platform you choose as your preference. Also, you can, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever you're listening to it, if they allow you to leave a review, please do. If there's like a thumbs up button, you can do that. Any form of good karma you can throw our way for the show helps us.
Yes, and you can also go to songspodcast.com for additional playlists, reviews, all those good things. You can also go to Spotify and follow the Songs for the Moment profile, where you can find all of our playlists, some extra goodies, and all that good stuff. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at RealGRod. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at BatWieldingCultist95. Inside joke, you probably will never get. I'll probably never tell that story on air. But if you go to my Twitter at RealGRod, you can find why I said that. I'm starting to hate Twitter, and I'm going to leave it at that. So, but when we come back, we're going to be doing our Now Playing playlist, what we've been listening to lately, and I'm very excited about that, and Sean's excited about that, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll do our playlist right here on Songs for the Moment.
And we're back with our Now Playing playlist. We do this every once in a while. We take a break from a theme, and we give you our, you could call it, a heavy rotation, or what we've been listening to lately. I picked 5 songs. Glenn's picked 5 songs. You know how it goes around here, and we're going to go through them. So did you want me to go first this week?
Yes.
All right. So my first song is by a guy I've talked about before on here. His name's Mick Rocklin. This is one of his own songs called New Beginnings. I messed that up.
It's all right. It happens.
But yeah, anyways.
It happens to the best.
Yeah, yeah. So the song's called Closed Doors from the record New Beginnings. This is a really good record. I've talked about McLaughlin before. He was a prodigy guitar player in the 80s. Stopped playing music for a really long time. And in about 2015, 2016, started writing stuff again. Put out this record. And if you're a fan of progressive... shred music, guitar related music, this is a gem. This whole record's great, but I love the I guess you could call it the verse part in this song. It's really super melodic. Just definitely check out McLaughlin. I've been jamming to the stuff he's been doing with Hutch lately, and then just even his solo stuff in general. I've been getting into him as a guitar player. He's really been inspiring me.
And he's the guy that did the song with Gunship, right?
Yes, he is the guy that did the guest guitars on that.
Sweet. I'm a fan for sure. I think you're the one that said, Shredwave, and then he had it in his tags right afterward.
Yeah, I think that was just a coincidence, because it's a pretty obvious name to call it, you know, because it's a new wave with shred guitars over it. But I'm glad that it's gaining traction as far as, becoming a popular thing for people to listen to. I feel like as a guitar player, it's cool to see the instrument get popularized again.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Speaking of genres and new genres being created and things like that, and I wanted to incorporate what I saw this weekend too with this song. This weekend I ended up purchasing the movie Lords of Chaos, which came out this year. It's been in the works for a long time. It was passed around a lot, but it was directed by Jonas Åkerlund, who, believe it or not, has a lot of black metal roots. He was the original drummer for Bathory before they got big, before their first big album. He left because he discovered film editing, which is cool. And he's been making music videos. He's made music videos for Madonna, Rammstein, all the way, all across the spectrum. So this movie is called Lords of Chaos, and it's about the true Norwegian black metal scene in the late 80s, early 90s, with bands like Burzum, and Mayhem and Dark Throne and Emperor and things like that. And the movie was insane. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this, because the song I have on my list, I love black metal. I've been a fan of black metal. And I know black metal causes a lot of controversy with nationalistic tendencies in their lyrics, because a lot of these guys are proud Europeans and they like their culture and things like that. But I am a fan of the sound. I'm the fan of the way the music makes me feel. And this first song is off of their debut record. The band's called Mayhem. The song is D Mysteries Dom Satanas. And it's this song is it rips, dude. It the beginning riff just makes you want to punch a wall and just go through the wall. And it's such a good song. And it's very extreme. This is probably one of the most extreme songs I've had on my list since the incarnation of this show.
Well, you're making me feel a little bit better, because I feel like I'm the one that's always giving people heavy stuff to listen to.
I'm always afraid to put black metal on my list because I listen to a lot of that kind of music. Like, believe it or not, yes, I do like synthwave. I do like acoustic stuff and punk, but I love metal as well. I don't put it on my list as much, but Sean has known me, for how many years? 17? Did you say 17 years? Is that how long we've known each other?
Well, I mean, I think we were met when we were like 14 and we're like 31, about to be 32 now.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So long.
I know,
man.
Right, dude?
But you've known me. I've gotten in metal because of you and other people. So, like, I like extreme heavy music, and just black metal gets me going. I just love the way it makes me feel. I like how goofy and serious these guys took their genre as much. Because in the movie, and I read the book too, Lords of Chaos, because it's based off a book about the whole scene and like what happened. So to break it down real quick, Mayhem was the first big band out of this scene, and their guitar player Euronymous, he had a record shop called Helvet, and he had like this thing called the Inner Circle, the Black Circle, which was members of different bands and friends that were into the same kind of music. And he was known to have this image of being the most evil, like evil band in the world, evil person in the world. So he did a lot of said a lot of stuff that would, like, you know, get people going. Their first lead singer, Dead, his name was Dead, this guy from Sweden, ended up killing himself in when they were getting bigger. And one of the first extreme things that Euronymous did was take a picture of Dead's dead body after committing suicide and put it on the cover of one of their demos. I think it was Death Crush, I believe. So as you can tell, that they would do anything for shock value. They ended up bringing in a guy named Varg Vikernes, who is, if you know who he is, you probably do. He was the guy behind Burzum. He was the bass player for Mayhem for a bit, and they burnt churches down for fun to kind of like get people going crazy, and you know, they're Satanists and you know all that. But it came out that like Euronymous really just did it for the image, where Varg kind of took it seriously. And Varg and Euronymous had this like weird competitive streak between the two, and apparently like something happened where Varg went to the press and started talking about the Black Circle, and it made Euronymous upset, and Euronymous said something like he was going to kill him or whatever, but he just did it out of anger. He wasn't really going to do it, because that's not the kind of person. If we were to believe the book Lords of Chaos, he wasn't that kind of a person. He was just saying it because he was angry. But Varg took it to heart and went to his house or his apartment in Oslo. He drove all the way from Bergen, which was a very far drive for Varg, because that's where he lived. And Oslo's like on the other side of the country, apparently.
Okay.
And he got into a scuffle with Euronymous, and Varg killed Euronymous, stabbed him like 20-something times, stabbed him in the head.
Damn.
He got like 14 years, something like that, for killing him, and then he's out. He lives in France, I think, he's got his own farm and stuff. He makes YouTube videos. He's a bit of a nerd, but he's also nationalistic and things like that. So he could be very extreme with that kind of stuff. But like this whole scene was toxic from that point on, because it's like they have that lingered over it, and people didn't really take them seriously because of the whole image thing. But they created this sound, and bands like Dark Throne and Mayhem reformed with your original bass player and their drummer. And I mean, black metal has been prominent ever since. There's American metal,
bands
there's Swedish
like Cradle
black
of
metal.
Filth. They're probably, you could say, the most famous black metal band out there.
Yeah, Cradle of Filth, Dimmu Borgir. Yeah, between
yeah,
the two.
Dimmu,
yeah, I would
yeah.
say. That's symphonic. They took black metal and turned it up on side its head. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they're more of like a, you could call them symphonic black metal for sure. I like that sound. You know, it sounds like you're rowing up to Dracula's castle on a boat in a storm.
Yeah. And I like, because a lot of the true Norwegian black metal fans and like the bands themselves kind of look down upon that kind of thing because, you know, they're elitist basically. You know, there's always a group of elitists right. in every genre. But like, I like when bands can take a sound and like kind of like, you know, make it different. I feel like that's the sign of a good creative person. Creativity can, evolve. It's a good thing. If you try to sound the same every time, it kind of gets boring and stale. And that's why I like Cradle. I love Cradle. Cradle's one of my favorites. I don't listen to them as much as I did, but like anytime I come across them, I'll listen to them and listen to a full record. And I used to have shirts. I used to be a big fan of those guys. So I love black metal. Mayhem. It's probably gonna be skipped over by a lot of people, but check it out. It's good workout music. I can tell you what, you can probably beat up a punching bag for a good hour listening to Mayhem. So
yeah,
that's my first song. Sorry for the long drawn. Right. I really want to talk about that movie.
It's all right, because my next jam is not that long of an explanation, because I don't know a terrible amount about this guy. I know that he is from a band called Artificial Language, and he is a ripping guitar player. The band name is Cincado, and the song is called Awake. I have been listening to this little 3 or 4 song EP for a few weeks straight now. Can't get some of these melodies out of my head. This guy, Charlie Robbins, is an amazing guitar player. I think that he's about to blow up, really. He's fantastic. I listen to Artificial Language. They're pretty good, but I honestly like his solo stuff better. The album that he has before this is really good, but I think this new EP is just him in like a, it's just more, you know, he's just building on his own sound, and he definitely has his own sound as a player. But yeah, check out Cincado if you're into like jazzier type of fusion stuff. This guy I think is about to blow up.
I'm digging it. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah.
All right, my second song, unfortunately, I have to go to another darker place here because, sadly, the lead, the singer of Prodigy, Keith Flint, passed away last week, and it was big news. A lot of people loved the Prodigy, and I remember the first time I heard this song was on a Fox Sports Sports Anthems CD back in the day that I got for Christmas. The song's called Breathe. It's one of their biggest hits. It's epic. It gets you pumped up. They were a big name in the electronic scene and
huge
and still are. They're still considered
huge.
One of the, like, you know, huge classics and legends of that genre. And it's funny because I was watching an old ECW wrestling clip from like the 90s, and one of the guys in the federation was called Al Snow, and He was like this weird psycho guy, and he had like this mannequin head, and he called it head, and on the forehead it said "Help me backwards."
I remember that.
Yeah, he was in the WWF at one point, but like before that he was in ECW, and like you know, the arena that they did the show, it's called the arena now, but like it was like a bingo hall down the street from where I am in Philly right now, and on Rittner. And the music's playing, and the whole crowd, every person in the crowd has a mannequin head, like one of those like styrofoam ones, and they're chanting head to this beat of Breathe, because that was his theme song. It's the most intimidating entrance I've ever seen in wrestling, dude. Like, I'm just like, god damn, this is like hype. And he comes out and he's like headbanging, and oh, it's so great. And like, I forgot that he came out to that song, because I was like listening to the song and remembering why I found out about the Prodigy in the first place, because there was like Breathe, and there was Firestarter was the other one that a lot of people liked by the Prodigy. And I wanted to bring it up because Sadly, he committed suicide, and like, you know, we've lost a lot of musicians
to suicide
lately. To suicide. So, again, you know, if you need to, if you're out there and you feel alone, reach out to someone. You know, there's ways to help you. You're not alone in this life. There's people out there.
Like, literally, if you type in to Google that you're thinking about committing suicide, it like just shows you the suicide prevention number and a link to a chat.
Yep.
Like, there is easy help out there if you are struggling. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And just to let you know, I don't know that from personal experience of Googling that. I heard that and I checked it, but I'm fine.
Well, that's good. I hope you're fine. I don't want anyone out there going through that kind of stuff, because I've been depressed before. I've been down. I've been to the point where thoughts like that creep in my mind, and it's not a good thing. So I wanted to bring that up, obviously, because we're all about the, you know, breaking the stigma of mental health and everything on the show. So, Breathe, the Prodigy, rest in peace, Keith Flint. A lot of tributes going around the world. It's great to see. And it's helping me rediscover a group that I heard on a random compilation from some random like $10, $5 compilation that my mom got me for Christmas once. So, yeah.
But yeah, my next song is Periphery's new jam, Blood Eagle, off their album Periphery 4, Hail Satan. Yes. They really decided to call their album Hail Satan.
Boys right there.
This song is balls to the fucking walls heavy as hell. It's like an assault, dude. It's so heavy. And it's really good, honestly. It's not as, I'm going to say, like, hard to listen to in a sense of like technicality, with some of their other stuff for people. Yeah, it's really, really heavy, but at the same time, it's more like songy structured. I feel like that and Periphery 3, they've done a good job of balancing being like a, you know, gent progressive band and doing the whole riff salad thing where it's like no riffs repeat and it's really hard to keep track or say that there's even a structure to the song. But they've kind of found like their groove of keeping a song structure with like a bunch of things going in and out of it, you know, and changing things up but still making it feel familiar.
I dig it.
Yeah, because I don't know, I feel like a lot of bands in that realm now, they forget that song structure, like, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, you know, outro or whatever, it works in terms of like making people want to listen to your song more than once instead of just giving people what I like to call riff salad, like parts A through Z, you know.
Riff salad, I like that.
You know, oh, here's a cool part, and here's a cool part, and here's another cool part, and here's another cool part.
yeah, like a sampler.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I mean, where's the song in all this madness, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Periphery's Blood Eagle is heavy as shit. It's really, really good, and they had just released, the last time I checked, another new jam that I have yet to check out on that album, because there's a lot of new music coming out right now. 2019's being like a really prolific year so far.
I'm excited about it. The Periphery is another band that you've had on the list a few times, and anytime that you put it on there, I enjoy their music, so I'm excited to hear more from them.
Yeah.
My next song is, I'm going to a completely different direction here with this list. I'm a fan of the group The XX. I really like them. I like their sound. I like how the music makes me feel. And I discovered that Jamie XX, the programmer, the guy who plays the keyboards and stuff in the group, has a solo career. And I found it on this playlist on Spotify, just random someone made, called Coding, the Coding Mix or something. So I guess it's music that people listen to when they code. And I like listening to random music while I like write and stuff. And it's just never just like a straight up genre. It's just whatever I can find.
Okay.
Jamie XX has a song called Loud Places. that features the singer from the XX, Rami. She and Jamie put on a really this song is awesome. It makes me feel great when I hear it, and it's called Loud Places. And I heard it on this mix, and out of all the songs on there, it's the one I kind of like rotate the most. And the way it makes me feel, it's just like this, like, the music video is cool too. It's Jamie and Rami just skateboarding around England, and it's just cool. It's just like a really vibey song, and it just makes me feel good every time I hear it. There's really no like story to it other than it just makes me feel good.
That's cool that you listen to different stuff all the time when you try to write too. You don't listen to like the same thing all the time. Maybe you'll get like a new idea from a new song or something like that.
Yeah, it elicits different feelings and things that come. Like if I listen to heavy, obviously I'm probably writing something crazy or like, you know, scary or whatever.
Or sad or whatever.
Yeah. If I listen to something like this, I'm probably writing a positive piece, or maybe I'm just weird and I listen to any kind of music and I still write negative shit. So it's like, it really depends on how I'm feeling. But like, that's like, there was a quote from Jonah Hill when he was talking about writing mid-90s, and he's like, he writes to music, like he lets the music kind of guide him in the storytelling. And that's how I was like, I relate to that very much, because that's how it is to me. When I wrote the screenplay for Exit Zero, I let the music guide me. I was very like very influenced by music, by writing that script. And obviously over the years that the scripts changed and characters changed, and it's always different songs that help me get past that. So when I listen to this Loud Places song, it's on, I started this new playlist called Vibes, and I just put anything on there that makes me feel good.
Okay.
This is definitely number one on there. And I don't know, man, it's just good. And it's got me more into the XX, because like I knew them for a few different songs. Obviously intros, like, for some reason, the intro is like their biggest hit, and like it's like a minute and something long, and it's just an instrumental. But it's, you know it if you heard it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but you should definitely check it out. Like,
yeah,
after
I definitely
we do the
will.
Show,
yeah,
you'll be like, yeah, I definitely know that song. So
that happens a lot when I go to when I go to throw the song into the episode and fade it in and stuff. I'll be like, oh, that's what he was talking about. Okay,
yeah. So the like intro, you'll know. Like, but I hope you enjoy Loud Places, everyone out there, because it's one of my favorite songs. And I discovered another song from that same playlist that's on this playlist that we're doing now. So I'm excited to talk about that after Sean talks about his next song.
Yeah. So my next jam is another up and comer in the, I guess you could call it, heavy music / progressive genty kind of space. It's a band called Interloper. The song is called Wishful Thinking. They've released another new song this year. Wishful Thinking came out last year, but late last year. So they've released two new songs in a short span of time. I think they're getting ready to release like an actual whole record, like their first record. But they're really good. They have a very talented singer. I do not know who he is. There's not a lot. Like, they're a new band, so I don't know if any of the members are from other projects or whatever, but I do know that the guitar players just got sponsored by Legator Guitars. That's probably why Instagram showed me this band, because, you know, I kind of check out a shitload of guitar players on Instagram. So that's most of the time how I figure out who a lot of these guys are. But yeah, check out Interloper. Even if you don't like heavy music, this guy's voice is really good. It's like one of those heavy bands that doesn't scream, which is cool. I've been kind of into that lately. But yeah, not much really to say about Interloper. I don't really have a ton to say about these new guys because, you know, they're new. I literally just heard about these guys probably like last month or so.
That's good though. Like you're bringing some new stuff to the world. I like it.
Yeah, definitely check them out.
And you know, it's fun too, because I'm starting getting, like, I love music that screams. Obviously, I think we both do. But like, I had Mayhem on this list. You know,
right?
Like,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm getting gurgles and hell sounds from that song. But I also like heavy music that has clean vocals over it, and like it's good, you know. It doesn't make the other part, the other side of that coin bad. It's just I like variety. You like variety, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, and I mean a lot of these bands, like people will say that the band Periphery had a huge influence on. They definitely did. The guitar player Periphery, Misha Mansoor, basically him and a couple other guys like sparked a genre, pretty much. But yeah, Interloper, I know they did some playthroughs. They did some performances at the NAMM show recently, in California. Best of luck to them. I've really dug what I've heard so far. I hope their album's really good.
Looking forward to it. So the next song I have, I found on that same playlist. I know little about this group, but I know that they were featured on the Drive soundtrack, which is one of my favorite soundtracks in film. And I love that movie with all my heart. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, Drive. So the song from that movie was called Under Your Spell. It's one of the parts of the movie. And the group's called Desire, and the album's called Desire, and it came out in 2009, but the song I'm talking about today is called Don't Call, and it's got female vocals over. I love her vocals. And the like I said, the way this song makes me feel, it's almost the same exact way that the other one does. I just feel good, vibey track that I just been getting into this kind of music lately for some reason, and it's just been guiding me towards a different direction in my creativity and just life in general. And it's kind of got like this keyboard-ish type like melody. It's got like these like, you know, I can't even describe what kind of drums they are, but it's just a vibey song, you know. It's a good one just to chill out and listen to. You can drive around to it too, and it's got that feel as well. And I want to get into more of Desire stuff because like the two songs I know is this one and Under Your Spell, and I really liked it, you know. And I don't know. It's got that indie sound too as well. I feel like this is like the perfect like track to put on an indie playlist. Like what you think indie music sounds like, this is probably fits under that too. So okay. Not much I could say, but Don't Call by Desire.
It's yeah, good. I've never heard of them before, so I'll definitely check them out. Wow, we're on to my last song already. All right, so my last song is a guitar player, obviously, that I found on Instagram because that's how I find most new bands and stuff. This guy I've been following for about a year, maybe a year and change. His name is Steven Taranto. He is probably one of the cleanest shredders I have seen in a very long time. This kid is deadly as shit. Like, he needs, like, the devs need to nerf this kid.
Like, nice.
Yeah, and he's coming out with a record. It's his first record. The song I'm talking about is called Pixel Heart, and then it says Verdant after it. It'll be in the show notes, but it's also fading in right now. This dude shreds so hard, and just like his rhythms are on point, and he's like stupid clean. I've been watching him. He used to post like a whole bunch of just like him fucking around practicing and stuff. And lately he's been posting like, you know, if you're a guitar player, you'll probably like his Instagram because he'll post like really cool workout arpeggios and stuff. Or just cool ideas that you might not have thought of before on your own. But yeah, definitely check out Steven Taranto. He's a monster shredder, and I'm so stoked for him because he just got endorsed by Abbasi Guitars. Tosin Abbasi from Animals as Leaders has his own guitar company now. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, Steven is one of his like first artists. And yeah, the guitar personally is not my style as far as aesthetics are concerned, but I have heard that they are comfortable as all hell to play. So I am curious to try to play one, but it's the kind of thing where it's not going to be sold in stores. It's a custom order only thing. So, yeah. I'll probably never play one. Womp womp.
Womp womp. It's all right, though. Yeah, at least you know it exists. So one day you might feel feel lucky and you're like, ah, I'm going to do it. Fuck it.
Yeah, if there's one like used at a Guitar Center or something. And from what I've heard, they're going out of business soon.
Oh, no. But
I feel like I read that article every year, though.
Okay.
And honestly, the way they've been running their stores, I don't even feel bad about it. I mean, I feel bad about the people losing their jobs, but yeah, they've been running their stores like dog shit lately. So
gotcha. Well, online's taken over, sadly. I mean, it's a good thing. Yep. Convenience is great, but sadly, I miss going to the mall. I miss going to like to get grab physical stuff. You know,
I do. And it's funny because before the show, I was literally just talking to you about how I was gonna buy something online, like a piece of software online.
Yep. Like, I don't think I've ever gone into a store to buy a computer program. Maybe like once or twice. I know I remember buying MTV Music Generator back in the day. I used to play with loop-based software all the time.
Yeah, like the early versions of Fruity Loops and shit.
Fruity Loops, MTV Music Generator, EJ. I mean, I made little demos and pass them out to people just because I, you know, wanted to just let people
just because you could.
Yeah, it was like I had a CD burner on my own computer and the software. It was cool.
And I mean, shit, that's how we do this show. Like, I mean, it's more complex than that, but I essentially just have some studio software on my laptop.
Yep.
Studio monitors, and I know how to use all of it. So, you know.
There you go. My final song on the list is, we're going a little heavier again. We're going to go full circle here. Not as heavy as Mayhem, but it's one of my favorite bands from the emo scene. I saw them here in Philly in 2012, the summer of 2012, right before I moved to LA. I saw them at the First Unitarian Church, one of my favorite bands, Silverstein, with the song A Great Fire, which is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'll pull up the album here. The album is called A Shipwreck in the Sand. Yeah, it's the first song off the album, and it gets you right in the mood. It starts off with this little like piano piece, but then it gets real heavy into it. I feel like this is one of their strongest albums. Like, I really like the first two that they put out, Discovering the Waterfront and what's the other one? Off the top of my head, I do not know. When Broken is Easily Fixed, that's the first one, and Discovering the Waterfront was the second one. I like A Shipwreck in the Sand like third, because I don't know, I can't really explain why I like it, I just do. But a great fire is one of those songs that gets me hyped every time I hear it. It reminds me of something that I heard, a wrestling theme song once. There's this guy named Seth Rollins in wrestling right now, and he's kind of he's into this kind of music and stuff, and like he comes out to this riff, it's heavy, and then like in the middle of it someone yells "Burn it down," and like in the beginning of this song, Shane, the lead singer of Silverstein, screams "Burn it down," and it sounds almost like maybe that's where the guys who made the wrestling theme song got that part from. So it would make sense to me. And Silverstein's fun, man. I really enjoy them, and that show was sick. And Sean will attest to this. To maybe some of the people out there will too. If you've ever been to the church, place small shit. And
oh my god,
and like it was in the middle of, it was like the end of July and August, so it was
you went to a summer show at the church?
Yeah, dude, I was
I've been there before, man. I know how shitty your experience was then.
It was shitty because I was sweating, but like I was in a pack of people that fucking just, oh, it was great.
Were people so sweaty that the floor was wet?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I almost slipped on the floor in there because it was just human sweat all over the floor.
It was me and Justin Steer.
It's like 130 some fucking degrees in that place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was me, Steer. He was doing photography. We were writing for this thing called Concert Blogger and this website. And like I was able to get emails from record labels, like their like publicists. So I would be able to get like free tickets to some shows, right? And I forget who gave me a list. Was it Century Media or someone, right? Someone gave me a list, and like one of their bands was on this show with Silverstein. I was like, oh, I'm going to see them because Silverstein's on this show. So I covered the show and like wrote a nice piece about it for the website, and Justin took pictures for the piece. So it was a good time, but I miss doing that. going to shows and like to review the shows and stuff. I don't feel
that'd be fun.
I don't really see too many like people reviewing shows unless they're like big name acts that go in the newspaper or whatever.
Right, yeah, or somebody plays like the casino or some shit like that.
But where I'm going when I'm moving to Chicago, I'm moving like into like right outside Chicago in the suburbs. There is a concert hall about 15 minutes from where I'm living. That has a lot of metal acts that go by. That band that you were telling me about the other day with Greg Owens, I believe, or he's his new band.
Greg Owens.
Maybe that's not who I'm thinking about. The guy from Chiodos that's in this other band now.
Oh, Craig Owens. He's in another band. Oh, are they called Drugs?
Not Drugs. What was the band that you were sending to me the other day that like one of your
Slaves.
Slaves, they're playing at this place in a couple of weeks or a month or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So a nice, great bands that come through, like, you know, from metal to metalcore to hardcore to new metal, like whatever. It's some good shows that come through there, and the tickets are cheap. So Devil Driver's playing there soon, too. I was asked to go to that by someone.
Okay.
If you like Devil Driver, you know, I feel like Cold Chamber a little bit better, but that's just me. But yeah, that I just got totally went off on a tangent there. So yeah, Silver Sea.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. It's all right. No, I don't have any anything else, man. That was my list.
Okay, then. Well, I guess that is it for us. So next week, be ready for the first round. So we're going to release the bracket. You guys,
we're going to release the bracket this week.
So we're going to put it on social media, but you're going to go to the website. You're going to be able to download your own with all the songs, or I'll give you a blank one and you can fill in what you think should be. But I feel like it'd be a lot better if you play along with us. That means like, because the whole theory about this is like with March Madness and NCAA basketball, it's fun to fill out a 64 teams or something like that. And like any time like one team loses and you have that team going far, your whole bracket's busted, and it's fun. It's like, you know, it's really fun to see, you know, if you can match up with what we're thinking. So we're going to be releasing that this week. I'm traveling on Tuesday. So the day after this show comes out, I'll be moving. But it's not going to be like a weird move for me. Like I'm not bringing much with me. I've been living out of a suitcase the last year. So, don't have that much to bring with me. I'm a rambling man, apparently, according to some, so we're going to put that out. And then next episode, next Monday will be the first round. We're really excited. We're going to try to book some guests. Like we're going to reach out to some people. You're going to hear some normal people, because I feel like that'd be fun to bring on some people that are not like musicians or whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
To talk about this with us as well. So it's going to be a good time. First round starts next week, the day after my birthday. I'm excited about it. A nice way to celebrate my birthday. We'll be recording that episode on my birthday, so it'll be fun. Like Sean said, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Songs Podcast. Songspodcast.com is the website where you can hear reviews and playlists and all a bunch of features. And, of course, where you can get your bracket. Also, you can you can go to Spotify and follow the profile where you get all the playlists as well and some goodies. And if you're going to leave us a review, please leave us a review, 5-star review, give us the good karma, like Sean said, before we took a break, wherever you listen to our show, if they allow you to leave reviews, leave a review, that'd be great. Merch.songspodcast.com for cool t-shirts. If you want to be the coolest person in the room wearing a Songs Podcast t-shirt, I am wearing one right now, and I feel like I am the coolest kid in a room where there's no one in the room with me, so I'm obviously the only person in here.
You're winning automatically.
I'm winning automatically. So, and it's a good it's a good icebreaker, you know. Someone walks up into your party or whatever, and you're wearing a Songs Podcast, like, what is that? And you tell them it's the greatest music podcast on earth.
Share the show, definitely like the show. And also, if you're listening to this on Anchor, who is the best host in the world,
word,
you can leave us a voicemail message on our page, which I didn't realize until today when I opened the app and actually, you know,
forgot about that shit.
Yeah, so if you want to leave us a voicemail message, we'll listen to it and stuff. But yeah, other than that, we don't really have anything more to say. Have a good week, guys. And yeah, we're out.
Later.